Please turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, and while you're turning, let me just say that there are some hints that Peter gives us in 2 Peter, and sometimes these hints are the very exact word, in 2 Peter is a word that is used in the Gospels. That I can't say definitely Peter was thinking about this when he wrote that, but it sure seems like it. And there are two of these in our text for today. Two times it seems as though Peter is thinking about this event in the Gospels as he writes 2 Peter. So we have to watch for those, and I will point them out, and feel free to look for them on your own, because they're fun to find and exciting for us to find when we make those connections. Now, I know that some of you were a little distressed last week that I didn't fill in all the blanks on the outline. And I know some of you haven't been able to sleep all week. You've been tossing and turning, laying awake at night, thinking what goes in that blank. And I'm sorry. Several of you let me know. And usually there's a reason why we don't fill in the blank. Last week we ran out of time. And today we're going to run out of time. And by the time I get to the third service, I pretty much have figured out what's going to happen. By now, there's a lot of empty blanks today. So sometimes we just run out of time. But other times, I leave a blank just to annoy some of you, because I know it just really, really bugs you. You just can't stand it. Can't wait till Thursday when Barb comes into the office and you can call her and say, Barb, what goes in the blank? So anyway, we've got some blanks. I'm expecting a response here, a verbal response. What is the key word for 2 Peter? Did anybody over here say anything? It just seemed like people over here. Okay, maybe it's just me. Key verse, two of them. Key verse. Patty's a little slow this morning. Another cup of coffee, Bradley, before when she gets up, okay? Yeah, 2 Peter 1, verse 2, 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Those are our key verses. There are 3x5 cards available out in the lobby if you would like those, because the way I memorize Scripture, I write the verse on one side of a 3x5 card, and then the back side, I write the first letter of every word. How many of you use some other program to memorize Scripture? A few of you, okay? Great. You don't have to use mine, but if you don't have something to do to memorize Scripture, then please consider the 3x5 cards. So, our key verses, let's say the reference, and then let's read the verse together. You may not have it memorized yet. Reference, 2 Peter 1, verse 2, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Great. I hope you will work on memorizing these. I apologize if I hurt your feelings last week for yelling at you about your homework. I saw someone from Lakes yesterday, and they didn't even say hello. They just said, I have a question about the homework. So I answered the question. And then Friday night, we got together with some of you, and one of our little girls was there, and her dad let me know she was disappointed that I didn't ask what the theme was for 2 Peter, because she knew. So she was here in the first service, and I asked, what's the theme of 2 Peter? Anybody? Anybody want to guess? What's your theme? What are you pegging? Anybody? That's the key word. So we want the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is the theme for the book. You can fill in your blank from last week and sleep this week. Okay, we're skipping the three aims. We're skipping those on the outline. I will try to do them next week. We just don't have time today. We're going to get right to the exposition. And the author gives us two names. We have two names, two titles, and then we have the recipients. Okay, that's where we're going to start out here. And let's read our text. I forgot that. I'm going to have you read this with me. 2 Peter 1:1, and then I'll put verse 2 up there. Read this with me. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of God and our and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Father, speak to our hearts this morning. May your Spirit use your word to convict us, to convince us of truth, to change us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, two names. And the first one is really interesting. It's Simeon. And Simeon is unusual because we know this guy as Simon Peter, or Peter. Now, I think there's a reason why there are times he's called Simon. I think there's a reason why he's called Simon Peter. And I think there's a reason why he's called Peter. And we went through this when we looked at the Gospel of Mark years ago. I'm not going to get into in great detail today. Lord willing, if we do a biography on Peter sometime during 2 Peter, I'll cover that again. But Simeon is his name. Now, it's always kind of unusual to me. I know a woman named June, and I was talking to somebody else about this woman named June, and they said, her birthday's coming up next week, and this was in April. And I said, June's birthday is in April? Yeah. I said, well, then why did they name her June? If she was born in April, call her April. Or January. You name her whatever you want, but if call her the name the month she's born in. Not something strange like June. Well, if you're from the tribe of Simeon, you don't name your kids Benjamin. Or Judah. Or Reuben. If you're the tribe of Simeon, you name your son Simeon. And there is a guy named John, and he named his son Simeon. Now, that's the Hebrew form. We know that from the Old Testament. The Greek form is Simon. And since in the New Testament, the first century, they primarily spoke Greek, we know him as Simon. But he's called Simeon. Now turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. And as you're turning to John chapter 1, realize, leave a finger in 2 Peter. You're going to want to bounce back and forth. We're going to look at three passages in John this morning. And there are times you're going to want to flip back to look at the word in 2 Peter. And so leave a finger in Peter and turn back there when you need to, but look at John chapter 1. So we have this guy who is named Simeon. And this is important because he's only called Simeon one other time. And that is in the book of Acts, and that is by James. James calls him Simeon, the verse is on the screen, and you can look at it there. But here we have this guy named Simon, and Simon has a brother named Andrew. Their dad's name is John. Now, Andrew is important because Andrew was a disciple of a man named John, who we know as John the Baptizer. Andrew was the disciple of John the Baptist. Okay? Now we're going to jump into the story here in John chapter 1. Look at verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Andrew brought Peter, or Simon, to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John." That's important. Simon is his name. Simeon is the Hebrew. John named his son Simeon. John the Apostle calls him Simon. Andrew calls him Simon. Then all of a sudden, Andrew, and if you have a brother who brought you to Jesus, you are most blessed. Andrew brings Simon to Jesus. Verse 42, and Jesus looked at Simon and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Hebrew, Simeon. Greek, Simon. Greek, Peter. Aramaic, Cephas. This is confusing. Would they just speak one language here? It'd make it a whole lot easier for us. Simon now becomes Peter. Actually, Simon becomes Simon Peter. He won't become fully Peter until later in today's sermon. I believe his given name is Simeon. That's obvious. I believe he is called Simon Peter or Simeon Peter when he's conflicted. What am I going to do? Am I going to do based on who I was, or am I going to do based on who I am? I believe in 2 Peter he presents both names because he wants us to see the transformation that's taken place between who he was and who he is. So, turn over a couple pages to John chapter 13. And we move from the two names. The second name is Peter, which means stone or rock. And he is being transformed by Jesus Christ. And then all of a sudden we have two names and we have two titles. And I believe here we have in 2 Peter, and we will look at this as we move on, but there is some language that is used right here, right now, that makes us think back to John 13, that Peter is thinking about John 13 as he writes this letter. And here's what happens in John 13. If you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are called the Synoptic Gospels, they're called the Synoptic Gospels because they view the Scripture the same way. John is a little bit different, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us that on the way to the upper room for the observance of the Passover, the 12 were arguing. They were arguing about which one of them was the best, the greatest. Next to Jesus, who's most important? And these guys are arguing. They're arguing about who is number one. And they all think they are number one. And we're told in the Synoptics that if you look at it, as they came to the upper room, they came up into the upper room, and even when they were upstairs, they were still arguing about who is the greatest. And because they were arguing among themselves about who's the greatest, they overlooked a common courtesy of washing feet. And because I'm number one, I think you ought to wash my feet. And because I'm number one, I would never dream of washing your feet. Because nobody washed anybody else's feet. They all were convinced they were number one. And you can go read this in the Synoptic Gospels and you will see it. And now all of a sudden, we're in the upper room and John chapter 13 and look at verse 4. Look at verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. Jesus knows this. He knows he's God. He had come from God, was going back to God. He knows this. Jesus is very settled in who he is. They are arguing about who they are. He is very settled about who he is. So with this knowledge, he rises from supper, verse 4. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. None of them would humble themselves to wash somebody else's feet, so Jesus did it. And in verse 6, he gets to Peter, Simon Peter. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Now, Peter thinks he's number one. But why would Jesus, Peter thinks he's number one next to Jesus, under Jesus. There's Jesus, then there's me, then there's these other 11 jokers. Why would you wash my feet? Peter wasn't having it. He's number one, but Jesus should not be doing this. He's very conflicted. So verse 7, Jesus answered him, what I am doing, you do not understand now. And that's important. Peter's sitting there. Jesus is washing his feet. Peter doesn't understand this. But look at the next phrase in verse 7. Because Peter eventually does get it. Jesus says, listen, Peter, you don't understand now, but you will. When Peter wrote 2 Peter, he got it. He says, Simeon, Peter, doulos, slave. Slave. Now, I don't know that Peter was thinking about the upper room when he wrote 2 Peter. But he came to understand why Jesus was washing his feet. And for the past 30 years, Peter has been the servant of Jesus Christ. He got it. He got the point. He got the message. Praise the Lord. And let me ask you, when does the Lord teach you? When does the Lord rebuke you? When is the time that Jesus confronts the way you think, the way you act, the way you talk? When is it that Jesus does that? For Peter, is after he's having this argument. He's got this big attitude, this attitude of superiority, and then Jesus smacks him down. When does the Lord teach you? How does the Lord teach you? So for three decades, Peter has submitted himself to his master as a slave. But then notice he says an apostle. The word apostle literally means sent one, or someone sent on a mission, a messenger. Now, it didn't happen in this service, but it did happen in the second and third service that there were people in the lobby handing out 3x5 cards. And if I said, hey, Todd, the 3x5 cards are out in the lobby, would you please go get one for me? And Todd got up and went and got it. He would be an apostle. He would be my apostle. But that's what it means. He would be sent on a mission. But if I said to Todd, hey, listen, I don't think Don heard that the 3x5 cards are out there. Would you go tell Don? He would be an apostle. He would be a messenger. He doesn't have his own message. He has my message. Well, we know when Peter was called. It's John chapter 1. We also know from the Gospels that there was a time Jesus took all of the disciples and he picked 12 of them, 12 disciples, and he named them apostles. Now, here's what happens in our Christian culture today. And I blame it on other religions or other factions, but let me just say that Catholicism has raised the word apostle to another level. These 12 guys were so special. We revere them, almost worship them. And some of you grew up Catholic. You understand some of that. But the word apostle was raised up a notch. But let me just say this. In my illustration, it's just Todd. He's not any better than anyone else. He may be smarter than some of us and not as smart as others. He may be richer than some of us, but not as rich as others of us. He may be gifted in this, but not gifted in that, and he's just Todd. And so, but in our minds or in some branches, we've raised apostle up here, and that's not what Jesus did, and that's not what Peter thought, and we're going to see that. He's just Peter, but he happens to be a slave of Jesus Christ, and he happens to be a messenger of Jesus Christ. So turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. John chapter 21 is really interesting because after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and even some of the appearances of Jesus to different people, groups, individuals, whatever, all of a sudden we have some of the disciples and some of the apostles who are conflicted about what happened, what's happening, and what's going to happen. And Peter says, I'm going fishing. I think there were about 7 apostles who went with him. We know that at least 4 of the apostles were fishermen. They go fishing. They don't catch anything. They toil all night. Finally, this guy shows up on the shore, tells them to cast the net on the other side. They do. It's Jesus. They go in, they have breakfast, and look at John 21, verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter. Now, I think he's called Simon Peter by John because Peter is at a point of conflict. This is the ultimate point of conflict for Peter. The denial of Jesus wasn't it. This is it. This is the ultimate point of conflict for Simon Peter. Is he going to be Simon or is he going to be Peter? Jesus says, Simon. That's important. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Simon said to Jesus, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Jesus said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Simon said to Jesus, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, I say to you, let me just stop there. Jesus says, you go do what I called you to do. Remember what Jesus said? No longer will you be a fisher of fish. From now on, you will be a fisher of men. Now, here on the shores of Galilee, Jesus says, Peter, you go do what I told you to do. Then, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. This reminds us of Matthew 16, verse 24. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I think all of this is crashing in John chapter 21. Simon Peter, or Simon, has to decide. Am I going back to fish or am I going to follow the Lord? Because if I'm going to follow the Lord, I have to forsake everything else. I have to take care of the sheep. And right here also, Jesus says this as a prophetic word about how Peter is going to die, which is what Peter says in 2 Peter. I'm about ready to die. John 21 is coming true. And I think Peter has John 13, the upper room, and John 21, the shores of Galilee, in mind when he writes this, and I can't prove that. But it certainly shaped Peter into the man that he was. So we have two names, two titles, and now we're done with John. Look at 2 Peter. Let's look at the recipients. And we're going to use a couple of the interrogatives to do this. First of all is who? To those. Who? To those. To those. And Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But to those, what? To those who have obtained a faith. If we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have faith, then Peter is writing to us. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us. This message is for us, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing. The guy who went into the upper room arguing that he was number one, now he says, no, I'm not number one. All of us who have obtained faith, we are equal in Christ. Peter doesn't see himself on a pedestal, and anyone who puts Peter or anyone else up on a pedestal misunderstands the scripture. We have equal standing with Peter. Do you know why? Because he's just a guy. He's a fisherman, uneducated, apparently not gifted in many other areas until the Lord transformed his life. He's just a guy. John MacArthur wrote a book about the apostles. He called it 12 Ordinary Guys. Peter was just an ordinary guy. He doesn't see himself as anything special, but he had obtained faith. And those of us, to those who have obtained faith, to us, if we've obtained faith, well, we know this faith. It's by grace, through faith. It's not of our own doing. It is the gift of God, so that no one may boast. Can it get any better? Well, it does in Romans. Therefore, since we have been justified, how? By faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Dorothy Putty realized this morning. When she woke up in the arms of Jesus, this is what we've been speaking of in 1 Peter chapter 1 on Wednesday mornings, this hope. We've been justified by faith. We have access to this faith because of God's grace, and what glorious results. We have peace, we have hope, but we have an equal standing. This is incredible. Simeon, Peter, the slave of Jesus Christ, the sent one, the messenger, he sees all of us as equals in Jesus Christ. Well, this is the truth that Paul communicated in Galatians chapter 3. There's no distinction here in Christ. We're all one, we're all equal. In John chapter 12, Jesus said, "Draw all men to myself." There may be differences between us about what we like or don't like, or our education or our money or our standing or whatever it is, but in Christ, there's a level playing field at the foot of the cross. And how do we obtain this faith? By righteousness, the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I want to stop here and just say that for those of you who studied Greek, and there are a few here at Lakes who have, what we have in 2 Peter 1:1 and 2 Peter 1:2 is the Granville Sharp rule. Now, how many of you recognize that? Granville Sharp. Okay. The Granville Sharp rule, when interpreting Greek, is these two equals, and I'm not going to go into a great deal. This is the simple part. God and Jesus are presented as two that are the same and equal. And you see it in verse 1, and you see it in verse 2. There aren't two, there's one. It's God, the righteousness of God, and the righteousness of Jesus. One other thing, the word Savior that you see there. Now, Savior is a predominant word for us. We use it all the time. But it's interesting, the word Savior isn't used very often in Scripture. Very few times, a couple dozen. Five times of those couple dozen are here in 2 Peter. So the next time you read 2 Peter, I'm not yelling at you. Next time you read 2 Peter, look for the word Savior five times. in 2 Peter. But listen, the emphasis is on the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And Peter's not making a distinction here. And Romans chapter 5 is great on righteousness. Romans 5 is great on the Trinity of God. Romans 5:21, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign. How? Through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is exciting how all of this is woven together for us. Go read Romans chapter 5. Notice the glorious connection between words like sin and death and righteousness and life. Consider, too, in Romans 5, the involvement of God the Father, Jesus, our Savior, and also the Holy Spirit. Now, this brings us to Peter's blessing, and we're out of time, so I'm going to hurry here. Peter's blessing in verse 2. And if we had time, and when you get time, flip over two pages, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 uses the word foreknowledge. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 is talking about what God knows. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 is talking about what we are coming to know about the Lord. Now, we spent some time on that last week, the difference. What God knows and what we are coming to know. And so we look here, it says grace, which is God's favor, and peace, which is harmony with God, Romans 5:1. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now, the word multiplied is a little bit tricky. We think multiplied. 2 times 2 equals 4. And that's correct. 12 times 12 is 144. And that's correct. But the word multiplied that's used here is used 3 times in the book of Acts and once by Jesus in Matthew chapter 24. And the word multiplied doesn't mean 2 times 2 equals 4. Stop. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is talking about the spreading or the growing influence of evil. It's not evil spread and then stop, or evil multiplied and then stopped. In the book of Acts, when this word is used, it meant multiplying, growing, becoming full. So when Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied to you, he doesn't say grace and peace be multiplied, stop. He's saying, may grace be multiplying. May peace be multiplying. And this multiplication happens when we invest ourselves in knowing who God is. So this is what it is. May grace and peace, that's 2 times 2 equals 4. May grace and peace times 4 equals 8. Grace and peace times 8 equals 16, equals 32, equals 64, equals 128, equals 256, equals 512, equals 1,024, 2,048. And I could go higher if I looked at my notes. That's what Peter says. This isn't one time. One and done. This is grace being multiplied to us as we have this growing relationship. 2 Peter 3 verse 18, but be growing in grace. Be growing in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we're growing in knowledge, grace is being multiplied to us. And as we're growing in knowledge, peace is being multiplied to us. And it's kind of like what I said last week about giving away knowledge and not losing any. We're giving away knowledge, but we still have everything we need. And when we give out grace, When we are dispensers of God's grace, we are gracious to other people. We don't lose grace. When we give kindness, courtesy, live in harmony, we don't lose peace because it's being multiplied to us. This is what the Lord does in us. So, I asked earlier, how does the Lord teach you? When does the Lord teach you? Where does the Lord teach you? I mean, it's easy to look at Peter, at least what we have in the Bible. The upper room, Matthew 16, Caesarea Philippi, John 21, the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and even the book of Acts, when Paul and Barnabas confronted Peter about his attitude. When does the Lord teach you? And how are you living today? For Simeon Peter, he recognized he was a slave of Jesus Christ. He recognized, too, that he was an apostle. He was one sent with a mission, on a mission, one sent with a message. He recognized that, and he lived that. And that's what the Lord wants us to see from Peter's life, that we live like Peter. We live for his glory and excellence, as we'll see, Lord willing, next week. Let's pray. Lord, we may not be going fishing this week, but we ask nonetheless that you will teach us that, like Simon, you will help us to leave our old life behind. And be slaves of Jesus, sent ones of Jesus. And now may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. God bless you.